Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the third Sunday in Advent. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, continuing on in our time of preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth. If you are a guest or visiting here with us this morning, we're especially glad you are here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to please fill out an attendance card you can find in your pew. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in the hymnal. We give thanks to God for our Alleluia ringers who have played before our service, and we'll play a little bit later as well. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 338, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Zephaniah chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the earths, all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me, before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It is difficult to contain all of the excitement bound up in this the midst of the holiday season. Decorations are everywhere, special events happening each and every day. Gifts are being given and received. The joy and the anticipation in children is quite visible. But for adults, there are always matters that temper that childlike enthusiasm, and yet it is still hard to fully be devoid of the spirit of the season. Christmas's preparation season is that of Advent, and this is the time meant to be subdued. Some churches and some families follow the more traditional pattern of not decorating homes and sanctuaries until Christmas Eve, in preparation for the joyous festivity. We meditate upon the return of Christ on the last day, and that we need to be ready, ready for that coming of Christ at all times, as he comes again, not to save, but to judge in his glory. And so focus is upon our need for the Savior, the Christ, and that need for Jesus is our sin. Christmas, the very birth of Christ, the celebration of our Lord's nativity, first happened because of our sinfulness. On this, the third Sunday in Advent, a different character, however, is observed traditionally. Some Advent wreaths have a pink candle for the third Sunday in Advent. And perhaps you noticed the very beginning word of the intro, it was not stir up as it has been the last 2 weeks, but instead the word rejoice in harmony with Zephaniah and with Philippians 4. What then is often known as Gaudete Sunday is a brief respite from our reflection on our sinfulness, and is a reminder of the great joy that we have in Christmas. This day, along with all of the other characteristics of this season, remind us of the reason that we have to rejoice. Christ, our Savior, is born here into this world for us, and he comes for our forgiveness and our salvation. That is truly great reason to rejoice. And while the scriptures do not report his own reaction, great reason to rejoice is given to John the Baptizer as well. And it appeared that John the Baptizer's ministry had come to an end. He was locked up in Herod's own dungeon. His days of preaching repentance out in the wilderness to the masses had come to an end. No more baptisms would be performed near the Jordan's river valley. And while he sat imprisoned in the dungeon, his relative, the Lord Jesus, continued to be free and continued his ministry. They shared the same message, a message of preparation and of repentance for the coming kingdom of God. They shared it because it is God's message, his message to all people. Yet John was incarcerated, and Jesus was free. No matter, though, Jesus, as the Lord's Christ, his Messiah, could easily set John free. But that day never came. John then sent messengers, his own disciples, to Jesus to question him, to be sure about him. Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we be looking for another? This is the critical question in this, the season of Advent. And this question comes from a most prominent and important figure. John is a prophet, like that of Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. And he is the last of the Old Testament era. He is the appointed forerunner of the Christ, the prophet who would be sent immediately before the coming of the Messiah. So John, that forerunner, that prophet, needs to know for sure as his own faith is challenged. You may have faced a similar dilemma. While you may not have been arrested or jailed, you know what it is to have your faith tested. Chronic pain that finds no relief. Illness that persists through all possible options. Continued shame at the failure to overcome that sin that plagues you daily. Heartache over that dear one's death, or at the severing of one's own cherished relationship. Try as you may, but that longed-for career just will not come. You take it to the Lord in prayer, as the old hymn has said. For Jesus does have the power to do all things. He can make your pain and your suffering go away. He can right all your wrongs. He can do all of these things. But he does not do all of these things. Are you really the Christ, then, Jesus? Do you really have the power to help? This is the question that comes to the minds of many people, Christian and non alike. And then, if you do have the power to help but choose not to, do you really love? Do you really care for all people? John the Baptizer received a powerful message, a powerful answer to his burning question as he himself struggled and suffered in prison. And in the very hour that he asked that question, as the disciples of John were brought to Jesus, who asked the question of him directly, Jesus on the spot healed many diseases, overpowered plagues, cast out evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. But John was no performer of miracles, but Jesus was. John was truly a prophet. He was not swayed by the wind, as Jesus taught about John to the crowd. He was faithful and resolute to proclaim the truth of God's holy word. And Jesus even said, there is no one born among women who is greater than John. And yet John was not the Christ. But Jesus is. His miracles would give John the very answer he so needed. To be sure of this, Jesus then told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and what you have heard. And speak to him these words from the prophet Isaiah, whom John would no doubt know. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them. John could then face the executioner's blade, knowing that Jesus is God's beloved Son, the chosen one, the Christ, the one who was truly to come, the fulfiller of all the words of the prophecies of Isaiah's and even of John's. John asked the question, and he received an immediate answer. Ask, and you shall receive. John did. And it would give John great reason to rejoice, to hope, to have comfort, just as Zephaniah had prophesied. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. Even though John still faced death, he knew Jesus was the reason to sing aloud and rejoice and exult. But Jesus himself would suffer the wrath and the opposition of sinners. John was the target of but one man. Jesus was the target of hundreds. He too would know the executioner's blade, so to speak. He would suffer capital punishment at the hands of Pilate, being nailed to the cross and to be killed. And even the Lord Jesus prayed earnestly in the Garden of Gethsemane for the Father to remove the cup from him, the cup of suffering that he must drink. Yet the Father permitted Jesus to suffer, the pinnacle of forsakenness by God as he bore the sin of all people. It was not the Father's will to remove the cup of suffering from Jesus. He must drink it to the dregs. And so he did. Every last bit of wrath, of justice, and of vengeance God has eternally for every sin, Jesus received in his crucifixion and in his death. Forgiveness of sins thus has been fully won by Jesus. Unlimited and infinite grace is poured out through Jesus' own blood. So all of your sin stands forgiven, cleansed, and redeemed now by Jesus forever because of his sacrifice upon the cross. And that is the greatest reason to rejoice, even in the midst of great pain and suffering and distress. For eternal life has been won. All sins stand forgiven by Jesus, the full victory and the full conquering over all enemies is already done by God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jesus said these things. No, you will not get everything that you ask for in this life. And that is a good thing. For our gracious Heavenly Father always knows what is best for us. Sometimes that will be a yes answer to prayer. But oftentimes it will be no. But it is always good, as God himself sees it, and his ways are always good and perfect. You and I, we continue with our struggles and our guilt and our pain and our shame in this present age. You may wonder about God's purposes and plans for you. You may even find yourself in doubt and despair. But God can handle it. He knows how difficult this life can be. For Christ Jesus can sympathize with you in all that you go through, in all of your weaknesses. And he wants you simply to continue to believe in him. When this life and the events and the matters of this life always seem to bring you down and cause you pain and suffering, remember John the Baptizer. He too wanted to be sure about Jesus, and he got the best answer. Even so, John remained in prison and eventually was killed. No matter what you suffer or struggle with in this life, you do have what John had. You have certainty in Christ. For Jesus has come here into this world for you. He has proven his identity as God in human flesh. He assures you of your forgiveness. You bear his righteousness as poured out upon you in baptism. And you are further secured in his grip through the righteousness and forgiveness he gives to you in his own body and blood of his holy supper. No matter what God may or may not do here and now for you, remember what he has already done. Look to Christ and the cross. Think on his manger and his empty tomb. All of this guarantees that God will indeed keep his promises made to you. For you are his, and you will dwell with him in his perfect and his holy and his loving kingdom forever. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to sing the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Receive it once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you again to our Alleluia ringers for their playing here this morning. Reminder about poinsettias for the Christmas season decoration. You can still submit those up through tomorrow, so if you haven't done so, please do so as quickly as you can. We have our Sunday school program coming up in just about 30 minutes, so you have time to get down to the fellowship hall, have some coffee and donuts, take a little break, and then come back here for the worship service put on by our children for the celebration of Christmas. We will be doing some Christmas caroling this afternoon at 3:30. We'll start off in our fellowship hall and make our way out from there. So if you're still able to do so, you're welcome to join us for that. We do have one final Bible class for this year on the midweek. That'll be this coming Tuesday. After that, we'll take a couple weeks off and come back in the new year. So you're welcome to join us for that this week and then again next year as well. Also, you'll find printed within your bulletin all the services coming up for the celebration of Christmas. We have four on Christmas Eve, 3, 5, 7:15, and 10. The first two are the family services, 7:15, Divine Service with the Lord's Supper, and the 10 p.m. is Lessons and Carols. We'll also have service on Christmas Day, 10 a.m., with the Divine Service and the Lord's Supper. We go forth in the name of our Lord. We greet each other in his peace.